me. I'm trying on my new mustache soaps for size.
What the?
Yeah, it's my new stash box mustache soaps from Bubble Genius. See? Look at this one. Oh, hello, my darling. Do you admire my sexy stash?
Dude, you're a weirdo.
Nah, it's fun. Here, see for yourself. Try this one on for size.
Oh, fine. Well, howdy, ma'am. Y'all know where I can hitch up my horse at? Oh, gee, this is a neato one. I'd like to discuss the molecular structure of soap, please. These soapy stashes are spectacular.
See? I told you. Super fun. And they smell great and lather up like crazy. Those Bubble Geniuses got it going on.
Stash Box Mustache Soaps, a set of four fun soaps for good, clean fun. This and other amazing vegan-friendly bath and body products only from Bubble Genius.
BubbleGenius.com.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Saturday morning, Mitt Romney made the most important announcement of his political career.
Join me in welcoming the next president of the United States, Paul Ryan.
Yes! Paul Ryan for president! What a relief, because for 9 months now, I thought I was going to have to vote for Mitt Romney. I gotta tell you, oh my God, because you got to face it, because there is no possible way that... I'm sorry, what's happening?
Every now and then, I'm known to make a mistake. I did not make a mistake with this guy. But I can tell you this, he's going to be the next vice president of the United States.
I mean Romney Ryan 2012. Mitt Romney picked Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan, and folks, this was no safe choice. No, there was another word for it.
Paul Ryan is being called a bold choice.
This was a big, bold, courageous choice.
A very bold pick.
It's the bold flavor you're craving.
Bold! I mean, so daring. I mean, white, Christian, and male? That's a triple not threatening to me.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Radio goes with life. A salt and pepper, a fork and knife. Radio goes with life.
Hello.
So, I'm Mackenzie McHale.
I know, it's good to meet you.
It's nice to meet you. Do you have a minute?
Sure.
You know, I was watching you earlier and you were talking about two companies, Capital One and,
Baxter.
And the prompter said both of whom are hinting at good numbers, and you said both of which are hinting at good numbers. Was that an accident?
No, I didn't write that copy. I change it to which because whom is for people. Is someone in trouble?
No. Do you mind coming into my office for a second?
Sure.
What's the difference between a corporation and a person?
Have you ever held the door open for someone?
Yes.
Did you ask them for money first?
No.
That's the difference.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Yeah, it is Wednesday. April. I almost said April. August. Wow. It's one of the A months. It's August 15th, 2012, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez. Not a good omen that I screwed up the month right off the bat.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
I make those kinds of mistakes all the time. See, right there.
Yeah, I was a little kerfuffled from the Aaron Sorkin writing from the newsroom there. He's such a nitpicker. I mean, no other writer in the history of television or cinema has ever done so much with grammar. It's just like, the West Wing was packed with, like, grammar rants, and the newsroom is now grammar rants.
Exactly.
Well, you gotta love that kind of stuff, because, in fact, it's educating.
Plus, it's even the voice of Olivia Munn is always a nice thing.
Yeah. So, hey, we got a lot to talk about this week, and we're doing a special Wednesday show this week, because you have some parental duties to take care of on Thursday, right?
That's right. I fly to, fly to Dallas to pick up Inara.
So we're doing the show today, Wednesday, the 15th, and then we're going to record an after party, and then the after party will premiere on its usual day and time on Friday at around noon Eastern. So it's just, it's the same stuff. It's the same stuff like we do every week. It's just a day earlier. Just recorded a day earlier. And it's always fun to kind of do a Wednesday show because Wednesday is always this sort of the high water mark for political insanity. I mean, it's really just the the craziest things happen in and around Wednesday, or at least whatever dramatic narratives are built up in the political world actually reach fever pitch by the time we get to Wednesday. So it's kind of cool. We're right in the middle of the sort of in the heart of the storm, so to speak. And I guess the biggest storm this week, you know, among many others, is obviously the choice of Paul Ryan for vice presidential, Republican vice presidential nominee.
It's a bold choice. I don't know if you heard that.
It's a bold choice. White, Christian, and male. Unbelievable. I don't know why. I have no idea why it could possibly be a bold choice.
Obviously, because Romney's making, first of all, because Romney's making a choice.
Yeah,
obviously he knew he was going to pick somebody for vice president. He had to, but you know, he basically doubled down on the kind of candidate he wants to be or the kind of candidate he is. And up until this point, Romney has completely played it safe. He's run as the anti-Obama and that's it. That's all he's done.
Yeah.
And now he's gone with a guy who has a definite, it could be a big win for him or a huge drag on the ticket. Well, I think it's going to be a drag, but that's, you know, my opinion.
The choice is really obvious, I think, ultimately. I mean, a lot of people were thinking that, including me, that he was going to maybe go with someone who was, you know, a full-blown fire eater, you know, one of these red meat hurlers, Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, one of these guys. And what he ended up doing is kind of reflective of himself. Insofar as Romney is, you know, I guess he was politically a moderate in Massachusetts, and now he's acting like a Tea Party wingnut on the stump. Meanwhile, you have Paul Ryan, who appears like a reasonable moderate guy, but he's ultra far right. I mean, Paul Ryan is probably the farthest to the right of any vice presidential nominee in recent memory, at least. Probably, I think there was a study, Nate Silver did a study, and I don't have the numbers here in front of me, but he is farther to the right than anyone, I think, since Spiro Agnew, as far as running mates go.
Wonderful touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, so, but there are a wide variety of layers to this guy, and this is what concerns me, is that there's no real way to directly attack him without getting kind of wonky and confusing about it. And that's,
yeah,
I think that's
it's
why.
True. There's nothing at face value that you look at, like, you know, a Sarah Palin who was inexperienced and dumb and crazy right off the bat, or, you know, a Dan Quayle who just came off as dumb. You know, I mean, there's none of that.
Yeah. Or Dick Cheney, who was right away, we knew him as an evil supervillain, you know, who was going to be pulling the strings behind the scenes for the less intelligent top of the ticket. And but there's none of that with Paul Ryan. He's just sort of this ambiguous character who really, though, when you dig down beneath the spin, is insanely far right. I mean, if this guy had, you know, crazy hair and wild staring eyes, he'd be Michelle Bachmann. Because
he does have, as I said at Daily Banter earlier this week, his facial expressions remind me of Hanover Fist from Heavy Metal, the guy who tears apart Captain Stern, because he just looks kind of dopey all the time.
Yeah, yeah. He just kind of looks like he needs a nap, and he probably does because he does one of these, what's that workout routine, P90X?
Oh, does he do that?
Yeah. Yeah, he does that every damn day.
Well, God bless him.
So, you know, I think they were speculating that, what is it? They're looking for photos of Paul Ryan without his shirt on. They're like digging down, trying to find shirtless photos of Paul Ryan from college.
Great. And what is the goal of that, pray tell?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's to just because he's evidently extraordinarily fit. He's got like 6% body fat, which I think once you get down to 6% body fat, that's kind of dangerous. Isn't that bad?
That means he's not having his period anymore.
Yeah. and it's because of the P90X. Am I saying that right? Is that the workout?
I think I've seen the infomercials.
P90X.
So is that what he's going to do now? Is he going to be like a, you know, like a shill for P90X if the political thing goes away?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. But, I mean, he was a personal trainer before he was ever a politician. And, but
that's
I think
what we need.
But what I was leading to here is I don't think they're going to need to search for shirtless photos of him. The Republicans are obviously going to release shirtless photos of Paul Ryan at some point.
Of course.
They're just going to leak them, and that's going to be part of the thing. I mean, that's how they're going to sell this guy. Because what do we know about the Republicans more than anything else? They're completely superficial. I mean, whatever it takes to win. We talked about this last week. They will do or say whatever it takes to win. And if it means securing more votes because certain voters think he's hot, they'll release those photos.
Wow. I mean, I don't care. God bless him if he's got a great body. But there's no chance in hell that I would ever look at someone like Paul Ryan, were I a woman, and think, wow, he's hot. Or gay, for that matter.
Yeah, right. Well, it's clear that at some point that they're going to...
Oh, of course. Yeah, they're absolutely going to play that up.
Yeah. I'm trying to find which site it is. What's one of the gossip sites? What's like the big gossip site?
Oh, God, take your pick. My favorites are, but I mean, my favorites probably wouldn't have anything like that. But what would Tyler Durden do? The superficial, delisted is great. What else?
I don't think it's out of any of those.
Yeah,
whatever.
But no, I mean
it doesn't, matter. They're, suffice to say, they're one of the gossip sites is looking for, and damn it, I can't remember which one. They're looking for shirtless photos. Don't waste your time, because the Republicans are going to leak them.
Oh, definitely.
But, I mean, in serious details about this guy, I mean, what do we know about? I mean, he's put, obviously, Medicare and the budget and the deficit and the debt all front and center.
You know, speaking of his, you know, of his looks, though, this is something I'm probably going to will probably appear from me in banter tomorrow, provided I don't – or today when this – airs, provided I, of course, don't go completely freaking insane, which is a definite possibility as I'm trying to write this thing. There's an article on CNN.com that brings up something about Ryan that, I mean, obviously I know, but I just never really stopped to think about, which is that he's my age. He's 42 years old.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, it's shocking to me, first of all, from the perspective of, you know, what the hell have I done with my life? But the piece at CNN.com talks about how he's, and they put it in quotation marks, he's Gen X. And just hearing the term Gen X, you know, having grown up with that term and knowing what sort of what it's meant, the kind of brand name that it's been selling of people from my generation, it's the furthest thing from Paul Ryan. The absolute furthest. I don't give a crap if he listens to grunge music, you know, or listened to at one point grunge music. I cannot see him as a member of Gen X. You know, I'm not one of those people who ever broad strokes an entire generation. You know, it's individual experience is as important as sort of the cultural touchstones that each generation has. But in fact, more so. But yeah, I just hearing him with the Gen X label, it's a total cognitive dissonance for me.
Yeah, he's about as Gen X as Alex P. Keaton.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Exactly right. And I mean, again, I'm not saying that everyone from my generation is exactly the same. Of course not.
Yeah.
But it's just that particular label came to mean something very specific. And quite frankly, that it was synonymous with slacker.
Yeah.
You know, that was. Oh, yeah. And I, by the way, I always thought that was very unfair.
Yes.
But that's what that meant. When I was coming up, you know, 20 years ago, that's what that meant. Gen X meant slacker. And, you know, maybe that's a compliment to him. But certainly Paul Ryan is the furthest thing from that sort of the Gen X stereotype.
That's right. Yeah, I never understood the slacker stereotype.
Yeah, I didn't either. I thought that was incredibly unfair.
Yeah, I thought it came from maybe the movie, you know, or they just wanted to find some sort of touchstone to relate our generation. I always think of when I think of our generation, I think of grunge. I mean, that's I don't know why I keep going back to that, but that's kind of the time when we were coming of age, going sort of transitioning from college into adulthood and things like that. And it was that period of time where there was lots of political activism, or the early political activism of our generation occurred at that period of time. And, you know, a lot of the things that kind of defined our generation occurred in that sort of the early 90s, I would say between 90 and 94.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's interesting because the CNN.com article says that his quote unquote Gen X sensibilities are going to be an asset to him.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, Are you trying to make the point that because maybe at some point in his life he listened to Nirvana, that somehow we will look at him and say, oh, he's cool.
Yeah, he's one of us.
He's cool. Because, you know, look, I've never been one of those people who puts too much stock politically in the idea of cool, because I think that the Democrats have always sort of campaigned on that, or I mean, at least have in the past few decades. And it's always been kind of, you know, Clinton pulled that off, the sort of the cool candidate. And so, honestly, so did Obama. But quite frankly, there's just to label Paul Ryan is cool is ridiculous, because he's the furthest thing from it.
Yeah, it's you can't really conflate coolness with far-right conservatism. It just doesn't,
yeah, exactly.
doesn't match
hip.
Up.
Yeah, yeah. I guarantee you he was never hip.
Well, he comports himself in a very gathered way, and that's why he doesn't have that reputation that Louis Gohmert has, or Steve King, or some of the radical far-right zealots.
You're absolutely right. He does come off as sort of he does come off as reasonable.
Yeah, yeah. And that's important. I think if you're going to have far-right views, you got to come off as reasonable. Otherwise, you're going to get written off. And this guy is going to – and this is something I'm actually complimenting him on this. If he wants to get these far-right views passed into law like he's been trying to do since he entered Congress – the way to do it is to present yourself to the press as being this, oh, I'm reasonable. I'm reasonable and rational. And I'm a wonk. You know, and that's how you do it. You sneak in the back door because you don't act like a fire-breathing maniac.
Yeah, you're not Michelle Bachmann.
You're not Michelle Bachmann. That's right.
You don't start talking about how you know, God talked to you and all gay people are horrible and you don't pray over people's desks and don't do that kind of crap.
We're going to in a minute or two, we're going to have to take a break. But when we come back, I want to get into some of the far right views that he holds, plus the contradictory. I mean, he wouldn't be a Republican vice presidential nominee if he wasn't just loaded with contradictions. Just a big, big steaming hypocrite, big steaming pile of hypocrisy. And it has that stinky hypocrisy smell. And then so we're gonna talk
about
that
new hypocrisy smell.
Yeah, yeah. And so there are a couple of phenomenal examples. And it all has to do with what they're gonna put front and center for the bulk of this campaign, which is the deficit, the debt, the economy, government spending. It's all gonna be the centerpiece. And these guys are gonna put themselves out there as being the wise old men, the experts, the adults in the room who know what to do for the economy, even though none of what they plan to do has ever worked in a slow growth recovery. Ever. 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 So we'll get into that a little bit more on the show. Hey, thanks for joining us this week. It's a special Wednesday edition of the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. Back after this.
Oh, you hit the post.
You know, sometimes I do it.
Sometimes
I can nail it.
That local DJ thing comes at me.
Well, it's easy to do when you have the pre-recorded liners. Okay, that's 3 seconds. The post happens at 17 seconds. 17 minus 3 is, calculating 14. So I can kind of do it. So, yeah, I like doing that once in a while. The real challenge is to actually talk up to it. But, yeah, we're back on the show. Paul Ryan, big steaming pile of hypocrisy is Paul Ryan. First of all, he's going to, and they've already begun, to slam the president on the economy, on the deficit, on the debt, and spread around the same lies that they've been discussing that Mitt Romney's frankly been discussing for quite some time now. Stimulus didn't work. Stimulus was bad. Government spending, deficit, debt. Suddenly, these are important topics. The debt, the national debt.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. That's the original sin.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. The entire idea that the Republicans didn't give a crap about the debt while it was being run up by a Republican president.
That's right. And by a Republican congressman named Paul Ryan, who voted for the Bush tax cuts, right? An unfunded policy. They cut taxes by over $1 trillion over 10 years. No way to pay for it. Then they get into two wars that Paul Ryan voted for, both Afghanistan and Iraq. and all the supplemental bills, you know, emergency supplementals for the war effort all along the way. Paul Ryan voted yes. Medicare Part D. I like the policy. It's as an idea, not paid for. Unfunded legislation here. Medicare Part D, huge, huge boondoggle in terms of expense. It's good for seniors. It's good for Medicare. The donut hole is terrible, but this is something that if President Obama had proposed Medicare Part D and come up with a way to pay for it, like he's done with every piece of legislation after signing a PAYGO law, they would have filibustered it. They would have opposed it. Every member of the House would have voted against it. But Bush proposes it. They all vote in lockstep with it, and there's no way to pay for it. So that's Medicare Part D. The 2008 stimulus. George W. Bush passed the stimulus package when the economy was just starting to tank. I think AIG had collapsed or something. It was in the spring of 2008. And so Bush passed a big stimulus package. Paul Ryan voted for that. Paul Ryan, whoop, supports stimulus. After, of course, January 20th, 2009, the word stimulus became synonymous with like the F word or like child rape or something. TARP. Paul Ryan voted for TARP. Paul Ryan also voted for the Bush 2008, I think it was December 2008, auto bailout. The first auto bailout. Paul Ryan voted for that. So all of the things, plus others, that are driving the current deficit and the current debt right now, Paul Ryan voted for them. Every single thing. I mean, what are the biggest drivers of the debt? We talked about this ad nauseum on the show. Bush tax cuts, two wars, economic recovery measures, TARP, Fannie, Freddie. These are all driving the current deficit and the current debt. You know, and Paul Ryan's partly responsible. One of a couple of hundred of Republicans who voted in favor of these things. Meanwhile, and this just came out yesterday, Paul Ryan, the guy who has been one of the most outspoken critics of the stimulus and will be throughout this campaign, I assure you, actually requested millions of dollars in stimulus money from the president. Actually, it's recorded in letter form. This is from the Boston Globe. In 2009, as Representative Paul Ryan was railing against President Obama's $787 billion stimulus package as a, quote, wasteful spending spree, he wrote at least four letters to Obama's Secretary of Energy asking that millions of dollars from the program be granted to a pair of Wisconsin conservation groups, according to documentation obtained by the Globe. The advocacy appeared to pay off. Both groups were awarded the economic recovery funds, one receiving a $20 million grant to help thousands of local businesses and homes improve their energy efficiency. And the documents also show that Ryan's attempt to take advantage of the stimulus funds, even after he voted against them, was more expansive than previously reported. So he's like one of these guys, like Bobby Jindal is the most famous of the photographs, where he's standing there with a bunch of people holding a gigantic novelty, like Price is Right size check
from the federal government with Ed McMahon standing next to him.
From the stimulus, for God's sake. You know, they're holding up this check in one hand and they've got, you know, their hand around the throat of President Obama with the other one, you know, because what they do is what they always do. They do one thing and they say something entirely different, especially when it comes time for the election. And that's the other big topic I want to get into on the show this week is the whole Medicare thing. We want to talk about.
Yeah. I've told you a couple of times. There are times that I stay away from politics that I just it becomes so brain aneurysm inducing that I kind of have to shut down. But yeah, the amount of flat out lying that's come from the Romney campaign on Medicare and welfare are just it's just staggering. Yeah. There's just no other way around it. It's shameless. You watch and you listen and you think, okay, how are you doing this? Mm-hmm. How are you actually saying this with a straight face?
It's gotten to the point where there's a new lie every week. There's like a big new...
There's one big lie that all the others seem to satellite around.
Yeah, like a new lie narrative that they develop every week. You know, last week it was... Well, there were two last week. There was the Ohio early voting and the welfare reform lies. We're going to talk about the welfare reform lie later on the show. I hope. If we don't get to it, we'll do it on the after party. But... there was a bit of audio from MSNBC that I wanted to play, but you know, it's, and then this week it's the Medicare thing, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment, the segment after that. But you know, it seems like they're just rolling one out a week, like a really big one, that all the surrogates get the memo and they all repeat it. Yeah. The press goes nuts and tries to, you know, and in fact, they're really starting to step up. We're going to play that Soledad O'Brien clip.
Yeah, they, I mean, somebody's been listening, which is good. I mean, for anybody who hasn't seen it, I think you can see it online, probably at Current TV's website. But Jackie Schechner, who's a friend of mine, very good friend of mine, another ex-CNNer, went on Cenk's show the other day and did, or I might have been yesterday, I think, and did a really nice sort of breakdown about how bad the lie is and why it's a lie. Yeah. So, I mean, as I joked on my blog, if you don't feel like reading about it and would rather have your news spoon-fed to you by attractive women on television, go right ahead and go there.
Right. Well, we're going to get into that in a couple of segments here. But before we move on from the Paul Ryan nomination, I just wanted to go over some of the things that Paul Ryan – this is reasonable Paul Ryan. This is how reasonable and rational he is. Paul Ryan on reproductive choice. Ryan co-sponsored a personhood amendment that would give legal rights to a fetus starting at conception. Ryan supports banning all abortions, even in the case of rape and incest. In addition to his support of the personhood amendment, Ryan won his congressional seat in 1998 by emphasizing his opposition to all abortions without exceptions. But this puts him at odds with Mitt Romney, who said that he would allow exceptions in the case of rape and incest. Well, how generous, Mitt. Number three, Ryan voted to ban abortion.
Thank God the white guy gets to make that decision.
The white Christian male, right?
Right.
The bold choice. Ryan voted to ban abortion coverage from being included in the state health insurance exchanges. The Stupak Amendment that Ryan backed would have prevented women from purchasing plans that cover abortion services through the exchanges set up under Obamacare, even when using their own funds. Number four, Ryan compared Roe v. Wade to the Dred Scott Supreme Court decision. Quote, twice in the past, the U.S. Supreme Court, charged with being the guardian of rights, has failed to drastically in making this crucial determination that it disqualified a whole category of human beings with profoundly tragic results. Number five, Ryan has supported defunding Planned Parenthood. In 2011, he voted for an amendment that would block Planned Parenthood and the healthcare organizations affiliated from receiving any funds in a 2011 continuing appropriations bill. Like I said, if this guy was screaming with some crazy Southern accent and like one big bulgy lazy eye, and he was wearing, you know, like cut off jeans, he'd be in the crazy caucus.
Yeah,
but because he kind of carries himself with a level of professionalism, at least, he's not. But it doesn't take much digging to see how insane he really is. So that's your Paul Ryan. That's your vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party. Good. Good luck. Good luck with that. We'll come back and talk Medicare right after this. The show is brought to you each and every week by the fine ladies at BubbleGenius.com, because they produce vegan, all-natural vegan soap and bath and body products. They're liberal, they're progressive, they're independent, and they make some of the best stuff in the world. You buy your stuff from them, all your bath and body products, you'll feel really good about it, and you will smell invariably good. Here's the latest commercial from BubbleGenius.com.
Ah! Who are you? And what are you doing in my bathroom?
Relax, dude. It's just me. I'm trying on my new mustache soaps for size.
What the?
Yeah, it's my new stash box. Mustache soaps from Bubble Genius. See? Look at this one. Oh, hello, my darling. Do you admire my sexy stash?
Dude, you're a weirdo.
No, it's fun. Here, see for yourself. Try this one on for size.
Oh, fine. Well, howdy, ma'am. Y'all know where I can hitch up my horse at?
Oh, gee, this is a neato one. I'd like to discuss the molecular structure of soap, please. These soapy stashes are spectacular!
See? I told you. Super fun! And they smell great and lather up like crazy. Those bubble geniuses got it going on!
Stashbox Mustache Soaps, a set of four fun soaps for good, clean fun. This and other amazing vegan-friendly bath and body products only from Bubble Genius.
BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Your promo code is Bob and Chez, B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z. That's our names. And if you enter that when you go to buy your stuff at BubbleGenius.com, you get 15% off everything you've just purchased. And that's exclusive to people who listen to this show. You can't get that anywhere else. So go to Bubble Genius, order all your bath and body products there, even their mustache soaps, and you get 15% off all of it, just because you listen to this here program. So anyway, I don't know if I was going to be able to speak at this point, because I made the mistake during the Bubble Genius commercials. I just jammed like a handful of M&Ms into my mouth.
Oh, good for you.
So I've got M&M's throat right now. There's like little bits of M&M shell like lodged in my esophagus. I try not to eat during the show because
that's generally a good idea.
Yeah, when you have to talk, you don't want to put, you know, foodstuffs in your mouth.
Exactly.
Let's talk about this huge, huge Republican lie. I mean, it's one of those things that's just been a point of lots and lots of anger on my behalf, and I think a lot of other people.
Yeah, you've really been going off on it on banter.
Well, it's one of those lies that is just so obvious. It's so transparent.
It's so obvious. It's so easily, easily disprovable.
Right, right. But I mean, they've been doing this. The Republicans have been lying about this for at least a year now, probably longer. Began during the early days of the Republican primary campaigns and the debates and everything, where people like Mitt Romney, of course, and Michelle Bachmann were spreading the lie around that the president cut, the word cut is really important here, the president cut $500 billion from Medicare. Now, I didn't say that. A year ago, it was $500 billion. In fact, they kept going with that number most of the rest of 2011 into 2012, all the way up to June. It was $500 billion cut from Medicare. Now, I'll get into why it is untrue in a second. But they said $500 billion. Mitt Romney said $500 billion all the way up through June. Suddenly now we're in the first half of August. That number has increased by over $200 billion, magically and mysteriously. Somehow $200 billion has been added to this number that Obamacare has mysteriously cut from Medicare. So now it's up to $700 billion. We heard Rich Lowry shouting down Rachel Maddow on Meet the Press on Sunday morning.
Oh, yes.
Quoting the $700 billion number. Then we get this. This is John Sununu on with Soledad O'Brien on CNN. We're gonna talk about this a lot.
Key elements of Mitt's plan: nothing changes for current seniors. Medicaid is reformed as a premium support system, repackaged as a fixed amount benefit to each senior that he can or she can use to purchase an insurance plan. All insurance plans must offer what Medicare provides today. This is from MittRomney.com, and it sounds awfully like the Paul Ryan Medicare plan.
But it's very different. For example, when Obama gutted Medicare by taking $717 billion out of it, the Romney plan does not do that. The Ryan plan mimicked part of the Obama package there. The Romney plan does not. That's a big difference.
But I understand that this is a Republican talking point because I've heard it repeated over and over again. And these numbers have been debunked, as you know,
by the Congressional Budget Office.
Yes, they have.
I have.
Yeah, Soledad is exactly right. They have been debunked. And you know what? Yep. They were debunked when they were when it was $500 billion. It was debunked. It was debunked. And now it's been debunked as $700 billion, or what John Sununu is now saying, $717 billion. It's actually $716 billion. That's the number he's trying to think of. But all of it has been debunked as being a cut to Medicare. All of it. But they're just going to plow forward with it. This is John Sununu again. What's that?
Of course they are.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm debating whether or not how deeply into this we should get. But, yeah, let's continue with it.
A Congressional Budget Office report right here, dated July 24th from Doug Elmendorf. Go read page 13 and 14.
I can tell you what it says. Yes, it cuts a reduction in the expected rate of growth, which you know, budgets to the elderly. Benefits will be improved. The focus is on hospitals. The focus is on health insurance.
By $711 million.
Not $711 million.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not.
Well, Sununu, you know, the funny thing is that while that's an incredible exchange, it's a tomato can for Soledad.
Yeah.
It truly is, because Sununu is a loudmouth and he has no idea what the hell he's talking about most of the time. He's just, you know, he's the most stubborn and asinine of the talking point delivery systems on the right.
That's right. But he is now a legitimate Romney surrogate. I mean, the guy is out there as a spokesman for the Romney campaign. And, you know, he uses that thing where he holds up the CBO report. And there is a CBO report from July 24th. I linked to it from the blog and written about it extensively. I went right to it and looked at page 13 that John Sununu talks about. And right there in text, it does say, the number $716 billion is in fact on page 13. Good job, John. Now, if you look at the rest of the sentence, all the words around it say that, you know, well, I should emphasize what the CBO report was all about. It was a report that was requested by John Boehner to determine the effects and the impact of a piece of House legislation that would repeal Obamacare. And so John Boehner said, well, you know, let's get a CBO report. Let's get them to score what would happen if we repeal Obamacare with this law that we all the Republicans support, including John Boehner and Paul Ryan. So that's what they did. So Doug Elmendorf writes up this long memo and says, well, you know what's going to happen if you repeal Obamacare? The cost of Medicare is going to go up by $716 billion. That's that number. And so If you repeal Obamacare and all of the reforms that it makes to Medicare, all of the benefits that it gives to senior citizens, the cost of Medicare will go up by $716 billion. It says nothing about the amount of money that's going to be cut from Medicare. It doesn't even use the word cut in relation to Medicare at all. So that's
right,
what that report
is
about.
But that's specifically, as you kind of alluded to, that's a specifically designed talking point.
That's right.
You know, to make that's a term that's very, very specifically and very carefully craftedly being tossed out.
So, I mean, we got to take another break because we're way late for our last break here. We'll come back and talk about this more right after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Doing all right. A little driving on. Okay, so we want to get back into this John Sununu Soledad O'Brien thing, but you know, I wanted to continue by saying that what they've actually done here is they've taken something that is in fact factual and they've completely twisted it on its head. And they just they're saying that it's something absolutely different than what it actually is. This is totally Karl Rove. This is what convinces me even further that Karl Rove is behind the scenes, or one of his acolytes is behind the scenes running the show with Orwellian twists and lies.
Because I have friends on Facebook or acquaintances really who I've seen post the Romney quote about the $716 billion. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen them, you know, Romney's got a graph up comparing himself to Barack Obama, mm-hmm. and that's in there.
Yeah.
I mean, the lie is being circulated.
So it's...
And they don't care.
Yeah. Well, I want to wrap up a little bit more of this Soledad O'Brien John Sununu exchange.
He reduces services to Medicare beneficiaries... currently on the package.
That's another lie. Right there, John Sununu basically says that the president's cutting, then Obamacare is cutting benefits. And that is untrue, untrue a thousand different ways it's untrue. It's completely a lie. That's totally a lie. Johnson and it was just lying there. So, I mean, what exactly are they talking about? What they're trying to do is the party that has been all about destroying Medicare even before it was a thing. I mean, I remember Ronald Reagan released a record album in the early 60s, which he talks about how Medicare and healthcare reform was going to lead to
socialism.
Socialist dictatorships.
Socialized medicine.
That's right.
All safety nets, all entitlement programs, all of that leads to socialism in the eyes of the right.
So these same guys are trying to position themselves as being the saviors of Medicare. When in fact, what Paul Ryan's plan does, what Mitt Romney's plan does, is actually, it begins to destroy Medicare by a thousand cuts. I mean, that's going to be the problem. That was George W. Bush's process with Social Security privatization. You know, you change it in ways that begins to undermine it. Slowly but surely, the program dies. You just undermine it, you make changes and tweaks that will actually be counterproductive. Then people say, why bother? This system isn't working anymore. It goes away. Becomes rapidly insolvent. Meanwhile, they paint the Democrats as being the Democrats, the people who have always supported Medicare and in fact have supported the expansion of Medicare, as the people who actually want to kill it. I'm completely Karl Rove, completely Orwell.
It's projection.
Yeah. So what you have here is the entire Romney campaign and all Republican surrogates out there right now saying the Affordable Care Act cut $700 billion or $716 or $711 billion or $500 billion, whatever number they pull out of their asses this week. And that President Obama is responsible for it and Mitt Romney is going to do something different. He's going to put that money back in. Well, let's talk about what exactly the law does. Let's talk about what the Affordable Care Act does. The Affordable Care Act creates savings in Medicare in order to preserve it. And the Affordable Care Act preserves Medicare for an additional, it keeps it solvent for additional 8 to 10 years. So it adds 8 to 10 years onto its lifespan because of these, what I would consider to be minor changes in how Medicare works. First of all, it reduces the rate of spending on certain Medicare payments. And there's a big difference between that and cuts. Let's talk about how this saves money on Medicare and how this isn't a cut, that $716 billion. Say if I spend a dollar today, if I go out to the store and I plunk down a dollar for something today, and then I say to myself, well, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to spend $2 because I have to buy more of what I just bought, and I'm going to buy $2 worth tomorrow. But then right before I do, I change my mind and decide that I'm only going to spend $1.50. That's not a cut in my spending. That's actually still a 50-cent increase in my spending, but it's just by a lower amount. And so that's exactly what this is. Medicare is still going, payments and benefits are still going to go up. Medicare costs, federal spending on Medicare is still going to go up year after year after year after year. It's just going to go up by $700 billion less because of eliminating waste, fraud, and abuse. We've heard those buzzwords over and over again throughout the healthcare reform debate. It reforms Medicare Advantage. And Medicare Advantage is this program as part of Medicare where instead of enrolling in Medicare, you can buy private insurance and the government pays for the private insurance. But what happens is costs go up and people don't get the same people aren't healthier. They're not better off for having Medicare Advantage than the people who are just getting traditional Medicare. So what they're doing is they're trying to even the playing field between the higher Medicare Advantage costs and the lower traditional Medicare costs. So they shave a little bit off of Medicare Advantage. And then it also reduces payments to hospitals. And the hospitals actually went along with that. I mean, when they were constructing the Affordable Care Act, the Democrats said, well, here's how we want to save some money on Medicare. We're gonna cut back on payments a little bit to hospitals. And the hospital association, you know, you would think, oh, my God, they're going to go crazy and they're going to oppose this. But they actually agreed to it. The hospitals actually agreed to it because what the Affordable Care Act does is it gets more people into the system. Obviously, hospitals will be receiving more patients because more people will be insured and have the ability then to go to the hospital. So there'll be eventually a net increase in the number in the amount of business that hospitals do. It's sad to say that we're talking about increase in business to hospitals.
Thank God.
Woohoo! Yeah, more sick people.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I mean, so that's what composes the $700 billion. So it's not any sort of cut. But what they're doing is they're telling everyone it's a cut. People are starting to believe it. It gets circulated around, and now it's not even just, you know, surrogates and, you know, off campaign Republicans saying this. It's the actual Romney campaign. Listen to this commercial. This commercial is absolutely insidious.
You paid into Medicare for years. Every paycheck. Now when you need it, Obama has cut $716 billion from Medicare. Why? To pay for Obamacare. So now the money you paid for your guaranteed health care is going to a massive new government program that's not for you. The Romney Ryan plan protects Medicare benefits for today's seniors and strengthens the plan for the next generation.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
That commercial is in more ways to...
It's a complete lie.
It's a complete lie from beginning to end. There are so
it's
many lies.
It's a complete lie. I love it. I mean, I don't love it, but you get, you know... It's so... Really, truly, it's so shameless that it almost makes me laugh.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. When I see a commercial like that, suddenly all of the things, all of the facts and realities of the actual program jump into my head.
It's not even a spin thing. I can deal with spin. Yeah. You know, I can deal with, all right, look, you know what, you're analyzing it and you're seeing something different than your political opponent. That's fine. Yeah. You know, that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Even insane spin is obnoxious and I think detrimental to democracy, to an informed electorate, but it's understandable. That's the way the game is played. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to just flat out lie. I mean, just the whole freaking thing, 30 seconds of lying.
Yeah, it really
absolute
is.
Absolute BS.
It is from top to bottom. And this is, and Mitt Romney approves that message. I mean, what they're saying in this is it's obviously directed right at senior citizens, saying that Barack Obama is cutting $716 billion from your pocket.
To
pay for Obamacare. To right out of your medicine. He's like taking away your medicine, and you are going to die.
That's right. Because robots are strong.
Because robots are strong.
Right. You won't be able to get your medicine back from them because robots are strong.
Yeah. President Obama eats your medicine for fuel.
Hey, you know what? Seriously, don't give him that idea. Because that's the next conspiracy theory.
Yeah, robots.
Yeah, that Obama's a robot who eats old people's medicine for food.
And when they grab you with their claws, you can't break free.
Because robots are strong.
They're strong. Yeah. So, you know, so this is this commercial. And then they have a graphic that appears on the screen that says, with the number, with the $716 billion number, and it says, Obamacare cuts $716 billion. And then below that, it says, Congressional Budget Office. July 24th, 2012. It's so full of crap.
Well,
I just want to go. I look at it on my computer screen and I go, bah! Yeah.
You know, well, the good thing is that Soledad had that. You know, obviously it's been circulated quite a bit. I don't know how much of this kind of stuff makes it to the people who need to see it. Mm. You know, the Soledad Sununu interview. Yeah. But I think that if it happens enough, if journalists actually start kind of standing up and just saying, look, again, spin, we get. The way the political game is played, fine. But if we introduce facts into this and you continue to say, no, that's not true, or yes, it is when it's not, then we're going to call you on it. We're not going to let you get away with it. First of all, in the piece that I wrote for Banter, I said, I'm like, it doesn't matter because – they're going to barrel ahead and keep lying, and they're going to blow off what Sununu does there with Soledad. They're going to cast anything that doesn't conform, any type of information from anyone that doesn't conform to conservative orthodoxy, they're going to cast that as pro-Obama propaganda.
That's right.
You know, and that's what Sununu said to Soledad. You know, you're just – put an Obama sticker on your forehead. It's like, no, she's giving you reality, dude. It's reality. And I think that's what it's kind of coming down to. I think that journalist, when faced with somebody telling that much of a bald-faced lie, you have to. It's like, because they're looking at you and they're basically saying, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. You are an idiot. You don't know what's going on. You're not doing your job. I know what's going on. And so, yeah, if I were a journalist, and, you know, I'm part-time these days, but, you know, I mean, if I were one of the journalists in mainstream media, certainly somebody who had to do these political interviews, if somebody essentially insulted my intelligence, I would absolutely call them on it, just from a personal perspective.
You know what? I have to correct myself. I was actually endorsing the idea that that the president, you know, trims and saves $700 billion with the Affordable Care Act from Medicare. The fact that, you know, it's not. It's $428 billion. $428 billion. The thing is, when you calculate savings and or what you would get if you were to repeal the law, there are other factors that, that contribute to the $700 billion number. But it's actually, you know, the law actually trims $428 billion in waste, fraud, and abuse, and plus, you know, reforming Medicare Advantage. That's all from the Center for Medicare Advocacy. You know, again, it's not, you know, these are Medicare experts who are looking at the law. $428 billion. Yeah. That's it.
And again, when faced with these facts, they may as well just plug their fingers in their ears and scream, "No, no, no, not listening."
Yeah,
because that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, both with Sununu there, which you heard, and with Iowa's governor, their responses were, "No, that's just not true." It's like, "Yeah, yes, here it is. I've got it in my hand. It is absolutely true." That's no, right. It's not. Okay.
Yeah,
it's like talking to a child.
It really is. It really is. And the fact of the matter is that the Affordable Care Act actually gives senior citizens more benefits. It actually has given them, what's the number here? Okay, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services released data showing that over 5.2 million seniors and people with disabilities have already saved nearly $4 billion on prescription drugs as a direct result of the Affordable Care Act. The CMS data also showed that over 1 million people with Medicare saved an average of $629 on prescriptions in the donut hole coverage gap since the beginning of the year. So far in 2012, Medicare coverage for generic drugs in the coverage gap has risen to 14%, saving Medicare beneficiaries a total of $687 million. Okay, so the donut hole is closing. In fact, Medicare Advantage enrollment is up. Medicare Advantage premiums are down. So even the shaving around what happens with Medicare Advantage, the program is actually more robust than ever. And that's according to Health and Human Services. I know the ultimate irony in all of this is something that Soledad O'Brien mentioned the other day with John Sununu, and then also with Tim Pawlenty today, is that that's $700 billion or whatever it is, the $428 billion. Regardless, the similar cuts or trims to the system, savings in the system, that all happens in the Paul Ryan budget plan. So
give up. This is why I drink.
Yeah. So it's all happening with Paul Ryan anyway. And so, you know, John Sununu was saying, well, that's Paul Ryan's plan. Mitt Romney has a different plan. Well, no, it's about the same plan. Because what Mitt Romney wants to do is repeal Obamacare. And if he repeals Obamacare, all of those benefits that I just talked about, all of those things, the closing of the donut hole, the expanded coverage for preventative care, all of it. Millions and millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in savings for senior citizens out the door. They just won't get it. So who's cutting what?
It's exhausting.
It really, really is. So there's a couple of things that we can get to. We can talk about on the after party. Like I said, we're going to do the after party as usual on Friday. So you'll have that. So there might be a little bit of overflow from this show over to that show. We want to talk about on the after party. We want to talk about Stars Earned Stripes. Bob Beckel said the F word again.
Didn't he? You know, yes. I didn't know that. I only saw the Huffington Post headline, and I'm like, oh, there's Bob looking stupid. What did he say this time?
Yep. And he blurted out the F word again because he's got to be the stereotypical doofus liberal. The only liberals they ever have on there are just the morons. What else are we going to talk about? We're going to do our enemies list, our most hated movies that everyone else loves. This is where everyone is going to beat up on us after the show, because we're going to piss all over their favorite movies. Oh my God, what is this? There's a war on pubic hair. That's going to come up on the after party.
Oh, lovely.
So that's...
I hope we're winning.
No better reason to subscribe to pay your $6 a month for the after party than to catch the details of the war on pubic hair. So, hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. We'll see you on Friday with the after party.